A two-season search started with hundreds of applications, then was narrowed down to 9 visiting conductors. Then it zeroed in on the man who conducted the October 2012 symphony concerts. He is 41-year-old Prague native Bohuslav Ratay, and he is speaking with us from Indianapolis. It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
Now, do you really go by Bo?
Well, the variation of those. I mean, the full name is Bohuslav, and some people call me Bohu, which is basically the first 4 letters.
Yes.
Or some people do Bo, you know, which is more Texan, I suppose.
Yes, if it depends on how cool you are, I suppose,
that's
which
right,
one you would
right.
throw out there. I'll go with Maestro Rate. How's that?
Sounds great. And I must tell you, I'm not quite 41 just yet.
I thought you were 41. When's
it's
your birthday?
Only a few months, August. So it's
well,
3 months to go. So I'm just kidding. I'm absolutely.
Well, hopefully we won't age you prematurely here again.
I'm still young at heart.
That is correct. And I understand that your addition to our community, because I understand that you intend to move here.
Absolutely. During my last visit,
mm-hmm.
I visited about 25 different homes for sale. So that was quite interesting.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you know, I love doing it. Because,
oh, it's fun.
Know, you learn about the community quite a bit. Just
yes.
Going around and seeing parts of town and see, oh, this would be a cool place to live.
Yeah.
Maybe not here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, it's actually quite, the search for the home.
It sparks the imagination, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Tell me about your first experience as a conductor.
Oh, way back, about 10, 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it all started kind of, it was an odd situation. A friend of mine who was a violinist asked me to conduct a little tiny group
mm-hmm.
for him because he was recording a tiny concerto for some, I think it was a summer festival. And, you know, he came up to me and he said, well, could you lead this group of my friends? Because it was a small group, maybe 10 people. And I told him, well, I sure can try, never done it before, but, you know, I can try. So we went on and we recorded this little tape for him. So I think actually he got into the summer festival, so I was relieved. But I didn't mess it up for him. And that's how I got the bug, the conducting bug. But, you know, I quickly realized that without going to school for conducting, there's no way I can become a conductor. The age of self-taught conductors, I think, is pretty much past us, and orchestras are very quickly, you know, they recognize if someone's got the chops to actually conduct an orchestra.
That's interesting, because people look up and say, how hard can it be to wave a stick? I mean, come on.
Oh, boy. Let's not even go there. And that's, you know, waving the stick, that's only like 30% of the job.
What's the hardest? I mean, is there still a greatest challenge for you when it comes to the conducting?
Oh, absolutely. I think that
what is it?
It will be it, for conductors, not just myself. I think the challenge is there are challenges for the rest of our lives. I mean, we
mm-hmm.
just run into different challenges. You know, you are there in front of 60 very experienced musicians. They have played a particular piece that, you know, is on the concert, what, maybe 30 times?
Mm-hmm.
And some conductor steps in front of them and starts telling them how to do it again, all over, differently. Oh, it takes a lot of patience and a lot
mm-hmm.
of... Oh, it's very challenging.
Now, it sounds like this is partly the bassoonist who used to sit there and look at the conductor and say, this guy is clueless. And
you got it. And during those years of me sitting in the orchestra, I learned mostly what not to do as a conductor.
Oh, come on. Tell us. I want to hear this. It sounds juicy. Come on.
No.
Oh, you're withholding.
But, you know, it's true. By observing others, you learn the most. And mostly
yes.
It is what not to do, because, you know, you develop your own ways of doing things and you don't want to repeat the mistakes others do. So that's
mm-hmm.
the stuff that will stick in your mind mostly.
So your impression the first time, well, when was, had you heard recordings of our local symphony, or did you stand before them and listen? When was the first time that the sound that the El Paso Symphony Orchestra can make hit your ears, and what was your reaction?
Well, there was the, you know, I gave an upbeat in the first rehearsal, and the orchestra started, and at that moment I was like, okay, these guys can play.
Okay.
Yeah, and then as the music progressed and we went on, I realized, well, they are responding.
Mm-hmm.
I am listening very carefully what's going on, and we started getting used to each other, and as musicians say, the chemistry kick in, and we kind of basically got along.
Nice.
That's how it all started. But it was that first rehearsal that I've never heard the orchestra before.
So that was it. That was the real moment.
Yeah.
Well, nice. I'm glad it worked. Tell me, in the conducting world, is there a simple way to describe your style as a conductor?
It's very difficult. I think every conductor is unique, you know, in his or her ways conducting. Hard to say. I think I'm pretty energetic. You know,
okay.
I try to keep the energy up. I try to obviously be sensitive to music and to musicians. And it's difficult to describe, and especially when one is describing himself or herself.
Yes.
I think that's even harder. So you would have to kind of ask others, you know, what they think about my
I'll give them a little time and then...
Right.
Now, I understand that you're not likely to be the kind of guy that just fades into the woodwork and nobody sees you. You have this thing about shoes.
Oh, yeah.
And then apparently you also do motorcycles, and that's not real subtle either. Tell me about this thing with color.
Well, if I tell you the color of my motorcycle, it will tell you all. It's yellow.
Mm-hmm.
It's bright yellow. And I like somewhat bright colors because, you know, they have personality.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if you ask people that know me quite well, they will always say, oh, yeah, the guy with the personality, of course. Yeah. So, no, I really like... I don't know how to... personality always. I'm attracted to personalities, yeah. Be it shoes, be it motorcycles, be it people or dogs. I mean, it could be any... It's just something that stands out in some sense that I can connect with, you know. And it comes to music as well. I mean, if the particular piece is personality, I'm drawn to it quite rapidly.
I keep putting you on the spot, and you're very good at... kind of drifting out from under the question here, but I'm going to put my finger. Do you have a particular piece of music that you might say is among your favorites? Give us an idea of your personality through music.
Well, I think of myself as romantic at heart. I mean, obviously, I grew up in Eastern Europe where the music that you hear is mostly Dvořák and Smetana.
Just the light, Martin. The light stuff.
Yeah, just the light stuff. So, and that's mostly romantic music.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
So I grew up with that, and it's stuck in my heart. And so I'm a big fan. One of my favorite symphonies, Tchaikovsky number 6, perhaps, because, you know, Pathétique, a lovely piece, definitely with personality, especially
yes.
if one reads about the history of the symphony and what Tchaikovsky was going through. And by the way, that particular piece is being planned to be played next year on our season. Yeah, so I'm
Excellent.
Really looking forward to it. You know, from a broader perspective, I like music that's good, that
yes.
is the quality music, you know, be it jazz or be it even some pops, you know, music that we just hear regularly on radios. It depends. As long as it's good, I'm all for it.
All about quality. I've read that you are a rather good vocalist. Is there any chance we might, at some point in time, hear you sing?
No chance.
Oh, come on. Wow, that was like slam that door.
No, I have. I really enjoy singing, and you know, it's kind of the most natural instrument that everybody has. All of us have, and you know, when I was a youngster, we might say, and was a college student, I sang in different choirs. A lot of churches offer, you know, positions and then in their choirs to help out the so-called amateurs in, you know, in their
yes.
churches. So, so I was actually making money singing that way. You know, paid for my rent back then. But you know, one has to keep doing that. And I can tell you one thing: since you know, I know a little bit about singing and I know a lot of professional singers. I truly appreciate, you know, when someone is trained in singing.
Yes.
You know, I know what it takes to be on that level, and when and you, I'm not there, so yeah. I wouldn't dare to, to go in front of a public to sing. I will do happy birthday here and there, and maybe some beer songs around the table, sure.
Or where you can't be held accountable for them. Well, I know every conductor is tasked with bringing the modern music in and trying to keep things growing and changing in the symphonic repertoire. What are your thoughts on that challenge to bring in modern and contemporary music into the symphonic?
Well, I definitely think that it's got its place in the repertoire. I'm not one of the conductors or music directors that would go too much that direction, like overdo it. You know, mm-hmm. I've seen on programs that, you know, the whole program would be, 21st century music. And, I think there are orchestras that can afford it, and mm-hmm. they can, not afford it financially, but they can afford it yes. audience-wise, because it requires a specific taste and a specific audience. Mm-hmm. But I think that there is plenty of good modern music or contemporary music that should be on the agenda, and we will certainly throw some of that in. I mean,
yes.
We are planning, if I might give it away, but just maybe a taste of it, is there's a wonderful piece written by Michael Dougherty, who is a composer, a living composer. I think he lives up in Michigan, and he wrote a quite interesting timpani concerto. It's called Raise the Roof. Mm-hmm. And I recently conducted it somewhere, and I thought that this is a wonderful piece of music. It's so why not to throw it in front of the audience, and as long as it's not, full 2 hours of that, and
yes.
they can have a taste, and it deserves to be played. I think as long as the music is good, mm-hmm. it deserves to be played.
Well, listening to you, your personality, and all that you're going to bring to El Paso, I think anything you do will go over just fine. I want to thank you for talking with us today. My guest, the new music director and conductor of the El Paso Symphony Orchestra, Bohuslav Ratay. And he is speaking with us from Indianapolis. He will be conducting our orchestra starting next season. For information about the symphony, you can go to epso.org or call 532-3776. Thank you so much for visiting with us today.
It was my pleasure, and let's do it again sometime.